Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
So as we sing that, we raise a hallelujah, we are saying praise to the Lord in the middle of our circumstance, in the difficulties, in the good times, in the bad, and all those things that we have just sung about. I love the line that says, my weapon is a melody. There is no doubt that the scriptures teach us, the Psalms teach us that praise to the Lord is a weapon of spiritual warfare. So what an opportunity we have to, if you didn't realize, you've already been in warfare this morning. Now, some of y'all are thinking, you are not at my house. How do you know? But I'm talking about here in this room right now. Already when we gather, we're able to push back the darkness, to bring forth the light as we praise the Lord and give Him glory. And He inhabits the praise of His people. So we're so thankful for that. So thank you for worshiping. Thank you for being here. If you are a guest, it is an honor to have you here in our second service today. We would love to know that you're here and to have a record of it. What we'll do is send you something in the mail you will enjoy. So we would appreciate it if you would take a moment to fill out the worship registration attached to the worship guide you received when you came in. You can place it in the offering box as you leave. And then I have something that I'll send you in the mail this week. We'd love to do that. If you're participating online, it's an honor to have you worship with us. We're so thankful for those that do that on a weekly basis. And when they're at work or different places, or some who have to be at home, there's info on the screen how you can connect with us. And we hope you'll follow that and do that as well. Each week we pray for a different church. We've been doing that now for over 4 years. Every single week praying for a different church. And so today, the church that we're praying for is Real Church in Guntersville. Real Church is pastored by Norm Hewitt. It's a great congregation. They're just a few years old, and God is doing a work there. So let's pray for them, for God to move in power. And then our mission of the week is the Maker's Child Respite Ministry. So we're so thankful that the Maker's Child home base is right here at First Baptist. But the Maker's Child has existed long before the Willoughbys made their way to First Baptist. In fact, this past Friday night, the Maker's Child celebrated their 100th respite night. And so we celebrate that together, and we're thankful for that. And it's an honor. The Maker's Child Playground, the special needs playground that is being built on the back part of our property over near the library. You've noticed that that pad has been ready for a long time and ready for them. Well, the construction crew that's coming from out of state to come and do that tells us they may be going to begin this Wednesday on Valentine's Day. So that's our Valentine's gift to ourselves if they show up. If they don't, sadness. But anyway, so we hope that they will. So we're thankful that you've come to worship. Let's pray. We'll keep worshiping together. Father God, I take a moment. I want to thank you for the Maker's Child. I thank you for the vision for the ministry. I thank you for what is multiple hundreds of volunteers across our city who participate some point throughout the year. Father, I thank you that the 100th respite night, Friday night at Life Point Church, was a blessing, and Father, that they were able to celebrate. Lord, we pray for the next 100. Lord, I don't think that the Willoughbys had any understanding when they started 100 respite nights ago what all you had in store. And I thank you that you are a light for our path, and Father, you are a lamp unto our feet, and sometimes you just show us a step at a time. So my prayer is whatever your steps are for this ministry for the next 100 months, God, that you'll do something amazing, that you'll let it flourish and grow and branch out to other communities and other cities and other places. God, we thank you for that. Father, we pray for Real Church. I pray for Pastor Norm. I pray that you'd speak through him today. I pray that you'd give him a message to share straight from your word. I pray that people's lives would be changed, that you'd bring revival to that place. And God, I pray for us in this room today, as many of us have already gathered in worship, but now as this group does. Father, my prayer is that in this moment, in this place, every last one of us would stop and say, that we bring to you our weapon of a melody. We bring to you our praise. We bring to you our worship. We say praise to the Lord. Lord, we put our yes on the table, and we ask you to show us what you'd have us to do with our lives. God, we're so thankful for that. Lord, in what has been a very heavy week and a half of seeing people from our faith family leave this earth and go to be with you, that's not heavy, that's exciting and joyful. But to grieve with those who grieve, and to mourn with those who mourn, and to mourn the temporary separation, that part's heavy. So Father, my prayer is, in the midst of all of that, as you have already done, and as we trust that you'll continue to do even today, later with the celebration of life for Jeanette, Lord, my prayer is that you would receive all the glory for these lives well lived. Father, that we would be worshiped in holiness as we will lift up your name. And Father, I thank you that you are near the brokenhearted, that the Holy Spirit does come and comfort us when we are lonely, that you do work in our lives, whatever circumstance we're in. Lord, people in this room have things going on in their lives. Lord, there are some people in this room that there's something going on in their life that nobody else knows about. They've walked in here with a secret, but Father, there are no secrets from you. So my prayer is that your spirit would move in their lives, that you'd set yourself in the middle of their circumstance, that you would bring help and healing and hope to them, that you would develop in them through their circumstance who you would have them to be. Father, my prayer is I want to thank you for, even as we celebrate a life well lived, we thank you for new life as well. And so we celebrate that one of our very own, Bethany Bowen, her new little baby girl was born early this morning. We're so thankful for new life. We're thankful for the health of Bethany and the little one, Josie. Lord, I pray that you would let her health to be strong, to grow, to come to know you at a young age, to live for you and serve you. We're so thankful for new life. We're so thankful that you are still doing that, that you are still providing the miracle of life. And God, my prayer is that for the remainder of this service, that you would lead, you would guide, you would have your way, that we'd follow your plan. You alone are worthy of our worship. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, the choir taught us a new song. We're all going to sing it this week. If you don't know it, you'll pick up on it by the first chorus. Let's stand together and let this be your prayer and mine together to the Lord.
A thousand generations falling down in worship to sing the song of ages to the Lamb. And all have gone before us, and all who will believe will sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all. All thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all. And the angels cry, see you.
Father God, we praise the name that is above every name, which is Jesus Christ. And we sing his praise this morning. Sing this out. I cast my mind.
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone, Messiah still and all alone.
And we sing name above all.
As we sing about heaven, as we sing about following you, as we sing about how great you are and your name is above all names, as we sing the fact that we want to match the angels in crying holy and worship to you, God, I pray that every person in this room, that their heart would be touched by the truth of who you are. God, that you will speak to us, that you will change us, that you will make us more like you. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Be seated, friends. If you have a Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Jesus never once spoke an untrue statement. Now, we can believe that or not. And we say we believe it. But if we believe it, it means we have to believe what he said. And he gave us so many wonderful statements that we could live by, life-giving statements. And I really want to encourage you before this series ends at maybe the end of February or early March, I really want to encourage you to read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And look, if you have a red letter Bible, that's even better. You'll see the words of Jesus in red. And look at all the incredible statements he gave us, statements of life, statements of encouragement, statements of reproof, statements of discipline, statements of command, statements of salvation. Every statement of Jesus must be measured to see how we apply it to our lives. And one of the topics that he spoke a lot about, I'm going to be honest, is one we don't speak a lot about. And I don't know why that is, but we don't talk a lot about money or possessions necessarily. It comes up from time to time. But Jesus, if you'll look, about 15% of everything that's recorded that he said is about this topic. Why? Well, here's why. Because money and possessions affect every person on the planet. If you have money, your heart and your circumstances are affected by it. If you don't have money, your heart and your circumstances are affected by it. So money and possessions affect every person on the planet. But here's something you might not have thought about. Money and possessions affect every person in heaven right now as well. Every single one who has ever died from the beginning of creation to today, who knows Jesus, who is with him in heaven, every last one of them, their eternity is affected by money and possessions. And that may be something that's harder to follow, but we'll cover that in just a moment. So here's what we know. What we do with our possessions, what we do with our resources matter. And this is not going to be a message that says give everything away or you're a bad person. We're not going to guilt you for buying an ice cream last night. We're not going to guilt you for spending money on other things. That's not what this is about at all. But what I want to show you are some important truths that Jesus gives us about our resources, our lives, not just money, but our time, our energy, what we invest in. And I think the scripture will speak to us today. And all of this is following our series, Jesus Said. We will look at his words, his statements. Jesus said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And Jesus said, you cannot serve both God and money. He said many more things about resources, but we'll talk about these to start with. Let's unpack these. If you'll look in Matthew chapter 6, the longest recorded message of Jesus is found in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. We call it the Sermon on the Mount. And this sermon is the long discourse of Jesus' teaching. And I would tell you this, and I would challenge you, if you struggle to read the Bible, here's what I would tell you to do. Spend the rest of your year, the rest of February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, and December, just focusing on Matthew 5, 6, and 7 and trying to live that out. And I promise you, at the end of 2024, you'll be closer to the Lord than ever before. It is incredible truth in these three chapters. He gives a subject after subject of how to live, principles to live by, truth to obey, commands to obey, things to encourage us, things to discipline us. Matthew 5, 6, and 7. But let's look now, right in the middle of this long discourse, at Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 19. He says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. Now that's a lot of statements right there. That's a lot of truth. There are many wonderful earthly possessions that we can enjoy. There are wonderful earthly possessions we do enjoy. And Jesus does not say that earthly possessions are bad. He says they just won't last. So it's okay to have possessions. We all do. Every last one of us have possessions. You came in here clothed today. Amen. We're thankful. That's good. We all did. But the reality is you've got some possessions. Maybe you've got a little possessions. Maybe you've got a lot of possessions. We're not saying those are good or bad. We're just saying they're not going to last. And the scripture tells us that. So let me clarify right up front. There are many good things that Jesus wants us to do with our resources, our time, our talents, our treasures, that will not involve necessarily giving them all away. Let me give you some examples. God expects you to feed your family. He wants you to do your very best to do so, right? And listen, I don't know about the rest of you guys, but who's been shopping lately? Feeding your family is not as easy as it once was. Amen? Oh my, right? It's not. Things are expensive, and we understand that. God expects you to provide clothing and shelter for your family. That's a good thing. Those are perfectly fine. And God is a giving God, so I even believe that there are principles that would teach. He delights in showing grace and giving us delights. And that's part of who we are, and that's part of what finances do. But at what point are we moving beyond his desires for our lives and for us for eternity into where we're squandering our time, squandering our talents, squandering our energy, squandering our resources away? At what point do we miss the eternal investment for the things that will someday simply be left behind? John D. Rockefeller was one of the wealthiest men to ever walk the planet. If his money was computed into today's standards, he would be worth billions and billions and billions of dollars. And as one of the wealthiest men to ever live, when he died, a reporter asked his primary accountant and lawyer, how much money did John leave? And the quick response from the accountant was, all of it. He left all of it. Listen, friends, that's true in your life and in mine. That the reality is someday we'll leave it all behind. So we can invest in the temporary or we can invest in the eternal. Let me give you an illustration to help this make sense of what this verse is saying when it says, do not store up for yourself treasures that will rust and be destroyed, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven that will last. Let me explain it this way. Imagine that you were given $5,000 today, and that $5,000 was to be used for supplies for your family, whether it be clothing, whatever you want to use it for, that's up to you. And you took 100 hours of your life to invest in some certain projects. And so you have two rooms to choose between. You have room one, and you have room two. And if you place all of your investments, that $5,000 worth of supplies and your 100 hours of projects in room number one, I can guarantee you that you will have a pretty good level of enjoyment. That at some point over the next 6 months, though, as much as you're enjoying all that's there, at some point in the next 6 months, you're going to come back to room one and open the door and it's going to be empty. It's going to all be gone. Now, if I were to tell you you could choose that door, you would enjoy it. Would be some great things that could come from that, but it's all going to be gone someday and find it empty. That's probably not necessarily what you would be excited about. But what about room number two? Room number two, you can place all of the same items in room number two, and I can guarantee you two different things. One, that you're not going to get the full use of it over the next month. You'll get partial use, but not full use of it. But I can guarantee you that someday in the future, it's going to be available to you for all eternity. All of it, every day. Which room do you choose? Now listen, there are four financial advisors who are a part of our faith family in our church. And I just can't help but believe that they're thinking, Chris does not need to be the financial advisor today. But I'm going to tell you, if I was the number five, what I would say to you is this, choose room number two. Choose what's going to last, not what's going to disappear. And the Bible says we can lay up for ourselves treasures that will rust and destroy, or we can lay up for ourselves treasures that will have impact and last. And don't miss this. This is the part we miss. We tend to think that what we're laying up in heaven is just for heaven's sake, and it is. But Jesus very clearly says you are laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Now, that makes some people nervous because they think, well, it's not supposed to be about me. Well, it's not. But Jesus said, you're laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven. So at some point in his economy and how things work, when we invest in the kingdom, eternal, impactful things that will cause the creator of the universe to say that you're blessed because of this for all eternity, I don't know what that looks like or what that means, but I'm certain of this. It at least means we don't enter heaven empty-handed. We have something to lay at the feet of Jesus. But I believe it means more than that. Now, this is not name it and claim it theology. I'm not about to ask you to give a special gift so I can have a private jet or anything like that. I wouldn't want anything foolish like that. I would want, never mind what I would want, so we won't go there. But the truth is, the reality of this is that part of what the scripture says is that what we do now affects eternity for us. Jesus said it. So what are we going to do with this? It seems like a no-brainer with our actions, but honestly, we often do the reverse of what makes sense. But the next verse is going to help it make more sense for you. So let's read that. It says this in verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Now, I want to tell you something about my heart, Chris Johnson's heart. My heart is redeemed. Is yours? Come on, this is just question. This is audience participation. My heart is redeemed. Is yours? My heart is consecrated. Is yours? Some of y'all weren't so sure about that one. My heart is made new. Is yours? Yes. But my heart's not always pure. I'm not going to ask you to answer on that one. My heart's redeemed, consecrated, made new, but it's not always pure. My heart can be selfish at times. Mine can be wasteful at times, can be lustful at times, can be prideful at times. And you may ask, well, what kind of pastor do we have? You have an honest one. That's a good thing. What I would say is that if our hearts are made new, but the old sin nature sure doesn't work in our hearts if we're not careful. And what I've learned is that my heart and your heart is the gateway to joy and fulfillment. Jesus talks a lot about the heart, and the scripture talks a lot about the heart. But I want you to realize something. Your heart does not have a brain. Your brain is your brain. Your heart is your heart. Your heart does not have a brain. What does that mean? It means this. Your heart will sometimes tell you to jump when you should stand. And it will tell you to stand when you should sit. It will tell you to say things and do things that you wish you never had done. Your heart will follow your emotions, and your circumstances will cause your emotions to do this and do this. You know what I'm talking about. Don't be nudging that person next to you, okay? It's all of us. Our emotions will go up and down. And listen, you find your emotions going up in a difficult way, and the old adage is true. When emotions go up, intelligence goes down. Because you will say and do things you never really intended to say and do, good or bad, if we're not careful. And so emotions can be ruled, and the heart does not have a brain. Our hearts will follow the food all day long. What does that mean? If you're writing things down, here's the one phrase I want you to leave with today above everything else, and it is this: what you feed your heart will lead your heart. Let me say it again. What you feed your heart will lead your heart. How do I know that? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It doesn't say where your heart is, your treasure follows. Where your treasure is, where you value your time, where you value your talents, where you value your resources, where you value what you do with your home and with all the possessions you have, what you value, what you do with your resources, where that is, your heart's going to follow you there. That means if you love something, invest in it and you'll love it more. That means if you want to be focused or engrossed or consumed by something, invest your time, your talents, and your treasures, and you will eventually be engrossed and consumed by it. Good or bad. It's not a good or bad statement. It's just truth. Let me give you some examples. How do you, let me ask you this. What people love to play pickleball? Somebody in the early service mouthed old people. I'm not saying it was not me. That's not the right answer. The right answer is people who play pickleball. Some of you are thinking, I don't know what that is. Where have you been? Anyway, but the people who love it, it's those, the people who play it love it more and more. I think it's like a cult. But anyway, they love it more and more. The more they play, the more they love it. Let me ask this. What kind of people are engrossed and invested every day in what the stock market does? It affects our lives, but not everybody's engrossed by it. Why? Some people, that's their livelihood, or they have a lot of money with extra zeros invested there, way beyond what any of the rest of us might. And so it matters to them. And so you pay more attention the more it's involved in your life. Who do you know that loves Christmas? It's me. It's me. I do. And why do I love it more than you? You say, that can't be true. Listen, it's because I invest a lot of time and energy in my favorite hobby year round. I mean, so it's just because it's an investment there, it makes me love it more. And that's just the way it works. Let me ask this, who loves and is totally invested and so hooked in to wanting to be a part of ministry at Westgate Mobile Home Park here in town? I'll tell you who. It's the people that every month or so hop on the cow bus and make their way over there and wade in and love on those children and those families and care for them over and over and over again. Why? It's not because they said, oh, I'm going to love these people, I'm just going to go do it. No, it's because once you go and you invest your time, you invest your heart, you invest your resources, then your heart grows for that. What about the people who love to take care of and welcome our guests here to church? It's the people that have invested 30 minutes a week, some of them for years, coming early to greet, to give their time, to be at the door, to welcome people, to open the door, to hold a sign, to smile. Why do they seem to care more about that? Honestly, it's because they've invested more of their life and their time into it. So I could go on and on, good or bad. The reality is where we feed our heart will be led. Over and over. Now skip down to verse 24, Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Now here's the truth. Money is a master for many people, but money is aspiritual. Money's not good or bad. In fact, the Apostle Paul tells us in Timothy, for the love of money is the root of all evil. It's the love of money. It's not money. Money's not evil. It's the love of money that is evil. Here's what I will tell you about money. One of the best definitions I can give you, I believe it with all my heart, and that is this. It is a resource. It is a blessing. It can be a temptation. And it is a fire starter for your heart. All at the same time. It can be a blessing, a resource, a temptation, and it will be a fire starter that will lead you to things that you may not have wanted to lead you to, or maybe to the things you did want it to lead you to. So what we must do is decide to make a significant impact with our hearts concerning our resources, our possessions, our time, our talents, our treasures, and our money. Where are some great places to do that? If you want to be eternal, I'll tell you some places to start. You can start with the local church. This is not about getting you to give money here, but I'll be honest with you, we are committed that for the investment that comes here of your resources, that we will do our best to live open-handedly, to make a difference in our community and around the world, to use that money for discipleship in this facility, in our city, across town, across the world, everywhere we can go, and we'll send a lot of it on to mission endeavors as well. Why do we do that? Because we are making an eternal impact that will last forever. And so that's the case. You can invest in missionaries. You can invest in people around you. You can have that unexpected encounter with God where you're driving down the road and you see someone in need and you stop and you help them. And if you give them your time, you're investing in eternity. If you give them some resource of yours, something physical, you're helping them. If you give part of your treasure, finances, you are helping them. And do I believe that that's just as valuable to the kingdom as anything else you can do by putting money in the offering plate? Yes, I do. As we do it in the name of Jesus, we are investing in eternal things. You may say, but Chris, we just don't have the margin to do it. We can't give. Well, first of all, let me say this. Everybody can't give the same amount, and that's okay. And no one, in fact, Jesus is very clear about that. We'll talk about it in a moment, that we're not all supposed to give the same amount, and that's not important to him. But then there are those that will say, well, I just can't give anything. I just don't have any resources at all. And what I would say is this. You take who you are with where you are in your circumstance and you be obedient to God with what that means. Can I say something without being too offensive? And I hope it's not my heart to be. But I will say that I can have people sit in my office from time to time or in the hallway or whatever and say, I wish I had money to give. And we're not begging anybody to give, but they'll say, I wish I had money to give, but I don't, any at all. And then I'll see on social media that they just spent, you know, $12 on a frappa mocha, chia latte, whatever, I don't know, whatever, you know, something. And I think, it's priorities. I love a good coffee drink. I'm lying. I don't even like coffee at all. I'm not a coffee guy at all. But I love a good Coke, okay? I'll buy an expensive one if I have to. But the truth is, I'm not saying don't do that. What I'm saying is, when we say we can never do something, but then we spend a lot of excessive money on other things, the truth is, we all do what we want to do. It's the truth. And so I want to encourage you at some level to invest your time, your energy, your talents, and your finances for eternal things. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Let God use that for his kingdom's purpose, and somehow in his economy, it's going to be a blessing to you as well. But the reality is Jesus said a lot more about money. I want to tell you two more things really quickly and tie it all together and we'll be done. Jesus said this. He said, one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Aren't you thankful? Now, we can have a lot of possessions. And the truth is, even though those of us that think we have very little possessions here in the United States, we still have a lot more than a lot of people around the world. We're very blessed in that regard. So let me read this to you. Luke chapter 12. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Now, does that just not sound like such a human thing to do? You've got the Son of God in the room teaching you. You have seen him perform a miracle. You have heard that this guy is really special and he might be the one we've been waiting on, the Messiah. And so he gathers around and he's speaking truth to everybody. And somebody in the back says, hey, can you tell my brother to give me half of his inheritance? That seems ridiculous. But that's all of us in some form or fashion with, you say, how's that me? Well, sometimes it shows up in our prayers. I'm talking about me. But here's the deal. So that's what he says. But Jesus said to him in verse 14, man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you? It's interesting that Jesus, the judge, says, who made me the judge over you? He was putting it right back to the man that that's not his job. And then he said this in verse 15, and he said to them, take care to everyone. Take care. And be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Possessions are aspiritual. They're not good or bad. I'm blessed to have some, and I know you are too. But our life doesn't consist in the abundance of them. Keep going, verse 16. And he told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Now, don't miss this. The moral of this story is not if you have a bunch of stuff, you don't get to keep it. That's not at all what this is saying. The point of this story that Jesus told is this, that we all can take whatever we have at any level it is and make sure that our goal is not just to get more, but that our goal is to do more with what we have. He says he will lay up for himself treasures or and is not rich toward God. Here's the deal. My life goal is to be rich toward God. Now, I'm not rich by man's standards, but I can be rich toward God. What do I mean by that? I want to be rich toward God with my finances. I want to be rich toward God with my resources and my possessions. That includes my home. That includes my strength. That includes anything that I have. I want to be rich toward God with those things. I want to be rich toward God with my time, making sure that I'm not saying I'm too busy to do something for the Lord or what he's called me to or to meet with somebody. I want to be rich toward God with my time, and I want to be rich toward God with my living. Can I encourage you to do the same, that let your life goal be today to be rich toward God. Now, if you end up rich on this earth, fine. If you end up poor on this earth, I'm sorry. Whatever circumstance you find yourself in or me, we all can be rich toward God. Now, but what about the fact that some have a lot and some have a little? How do we really factor that out in what's supposed to be done with it? Mark chapter 12, verse 41 tells us, last passage, and we're going to wrap things up. This brings great hope for everybody in this room. It says this, and he, Jesus, sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums. So Jesus is at the temple. He is at the place in the court where people would leave their offering, and he's sitting and watching people put money in the offering box, just like we have people go by and do so. But here's the deal. There's nobody standing back there to watch you do it. But this time, Jesus is sitting across watching, and he's watching people with great wealth come and put money in it. And then it says this in verse 42, and a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him, and he said to them, truly I say to you, this poor woman, this poor widow, has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. Now, did he mean more physically? Did he mean more spiritually? He just means more. In the economy of how God measures things, in kingdom math, he means more. Because she gave out of sacrifice in her heart. Look at verse 44. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. Now, some of you may think I'm naive enough that I believe what I'm about to say, but I do believe what I'm about to say, and that is this, that God can do more with a penny than he can do with thousands of dollars if the penny's given in greater sacrifice. I mean that. So it's not about how much money you have or how many resources. It's about kingdom math. And kingdom math is better than man's math. And so we take who we are with what we have to offer, and we say, Father, I'm not going to lay up just treasures on this earth. Thank you that you let me enjoy life and parts of life and take care of my family. I love that you're a blessing. But God, I want part of who I am and my resources. I want to lay up treasures in heaven for the kingdom's sake. And Father, even for what you say for me. I want to do that. So God says so much more about money. We don't have time to cover it. I would encourage you just to do a study in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and find every time Jesus talked about possessions and finances. And you'll see over and over what he leads us to do and how he tells us to live. But I simply want to ask you this. What will you do with these words today? What will you do with them? Three statements: money and possessions, affect every person in heaven. I want you to think about that. No one's there now and it didn't affect them. Why? Because I believe the words of Matthew where Jesus said, you will store up for yourself treasures in heaven. I believe that. If you believe it, then you have to know it affects every person who's there because they spent time on this earth. Very cautious to talk so fresh about someone who's just recently passed, but I just want to say, and I believe it'll be okay, I even think about the life we will celebrate this afternoon, Miss Jeanette Chastain. By far, one of the godliest women I've ever known in my life. I don't throw that around loosely by any standard. She loves the Lord. She had a smile that showed the joy of the Lord at all times. If you ever called her on the phone, you could hear her smile through the phone. That's the truth. I mean, just an incredible woman. But here's what I would say. She entered the, we'll celebrate her life at 3 o'clock today. It's going to be a wonderful time of worship. But a week ago, when she entered, she left this earth and entered the presence of the Lord, that verse came to full reality in her life. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you about all the treasures she laid up in heaven, but I simply want to say that just being her pastor and being a friend of the family and watching them lead and serve, I can tell you that they invested in eternity financially. They invested in ministries and missionaries that we don't even know anything about in other places. They invested in people and friends. Then she gave of her time. She served so faithfully. She stood and sang in right here in this place for over 50 years, week after week, leading people to Jesus. You say, are you saying that's storing up for your, laying up for yourself treasures in heaven? I'm saying that what we do with our time and talents and energy matters in the kingdom. And so, yes. She's faithfully served at Cahill at our community center there, loving on boys and girls for year after year after year, ones who had great need. We've seen her minister to others, to pray for others. She was a prayer warrior. And I could go on and on, but I simply want to say this. When you think, I want you to not just hear the verse and as if Jesus said it 2,000 years ago and maybe you can apply it to your life. There's a woman who went to be with him last week who is experiencing the beautiful results of living a kingdom invested life. Now, if you and I live long enough, I'm going to make a very wise statement. If you live long enough, you're going to die. If Jesus tarries, if Jesus holds off coming back, some more of us are going to pass from this life to eternity. What a blessing it's going to be there. But there's no one that's escaping that in this room. So I want to challenge you to really stop and think about what you will do then with the investment of your heart. What you feed your heart will lead your heart. So will you make a conscious decision to invest your resources, your time, your talents, your treasures, not just the finances, the talents, the treasures, the energy, all that into kingdom things? Understand that God is preparing a place that will benefit all believers for all eternity, but it will certainly benefit you and I as well. I don't know about you, but I believe the adage that Randy Alcorn talks about in a book that he wrote 20 years ago, it changed my view of my stuff. It changed my view of giving. It changed my view of how to live. It's a little short book, takes about an hour to read, called The Treasure Principle. And The Treasure Principle is based off the scripture in Matthew. And this is how he words it, and I'll end with this. He says this, you cannot take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. I say again, you can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. I think about women like Jeanette who have done that. Yesterday, we celebrated the life of Linda Jennings. She had done that. I could go on and on talking about Edith Hall and others. Oh, listen, I could start down a long list of people. Can I tell you that working on all these funerals this week and last week, I have a file, and this file is a computer file with every funeral I've ever done here, and it also includes weddings. I put them together. Don't think that's weird, okay? But it's weddings and funerals. I don't know why they're together, but they are. But as I was looking for a particular scripture for something and searching through that, I ended up at the bottom of that file. And it said there were 220-something documents in that file. Maybe 40 of those representing, maybe 30 of them representing a wedding, but the rest are all funerals. Over. It is hard to see the people you love and serve with live their life for the kingdom and then move from this life to the next, and you think, why am I left here? And what's the purpose that God has for us, and who'll be next, and all that that means. But the gravity of seeing that number reminded me of this, that God designed this life to prepare us for eternity. And what we do with this life should not just be summed up in some four-page document in my computer. And so I want to encourage you to do what every one of these women that we've celebrated this last week and today have done. I want to encourage you, preach your own funeral. Live your life and invest it in such a way that when you breathe your last breath and you move to eternity, because it's coming, that number 220, if I get to stay here another decade, I have no doubt that number will go way up. But what I would say to you is, what you do with the time on this earth matters. And oh, I want to live out these verses. And I want at the end, when it's all said and done, I want somebody to stand up and say, Chris Johnson was never a wealthy man, but he was rich toward God. With his time, with his talents, and with his treasure. What about you? Would you bow with me? Take just a second in your own heart. It's going to be a little different invitation today. Stop and examine. What have you been feeding your heart? Because that's leading your heart somewhere. Just figure that out in your own life and make adjustments where needed. Make a renewed commitment to the Lord that may need to say, God, today I'm going to start by giving something financially. I'll just start for your kingdom's cause. Just whatever. Maybe for others, you say, God, today I'm going to make a commitment to serve. I'm going to get involved in some ministry because I want my time to matter. Someone to say, God, I'm going to reach out to my neighbor because I see a need they have and I have not yet met it and I can. So I'm going to go meet that need. And I want that to count for eternity for your sake, Father. That all of us would take time to stop and examine our hearts and make sure that we are striving to be rich toward God. Now, for some of us, man, that's going to be incredible gifts of resources with many zeros on the end. For others of us, it might be that 2 copper coins. And I promise you, Jesus will receive it the same. For others of us, it's maybe health is starting to be a problem for us, so you don't have your greatest years ahead of you with health. And so what you can do is make a renewed commitment to be a prayer warrior. That's sure what Miss Jeanette was. Make a renewed commitment to be a prayer warrior that you will make it your goal to pray bold prayers, to send those on ahead to heaven, that you can have a kingdom impact through your prayers for those around you. There are people that need your prayers. There are people that need you to lead that way. Whatever God is saying to you, would you respond the way he would have you to? Maybe you don't have to come and kneel. You can. But if there's just something that you want to talk to God about, do. We'll pray with you. You have another decision. Just follow through with whatever he would say. Father God, please have your way among us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291. or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.